Hear anything from Trevor? Okay.
There's Trevor.
Oh, there you are. Okay. All right. We have a quorum. It's 3:01, and I'd like to bring the ESAC Waste Diversions Collections and Education Subcommittee to order. We'll start out with item one for roll call. Fred Ariza,
Here.
Margo Garcia,
Here.
Doug Jennings,
Here.
and Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
and Chris Yarder. I'm here. Okay.
Hooray.
October 1st. Wow, we got the first day of the month for ESAC. That's how important we are. I don't really have a chairperson's report other than I always read those articles in the Recycle Today, and they did a big study, and I don't know if Pat can get a hold of it or Christina, but what they were this report, it's a SWANA report, so you should probably be able to get it. And so it offers says cities and counties across the country are looking for ways to balance education, outreach, and enforcement to address recycling contamination. And so this offers the research evidence and the practical experience that can guide decision making. And it says a lot of things that we've tried. Like tagging the recycle bins and stuff like that. But I don't know. Pat, can you get a copy of that from SWANA or?
Absolutely. I'll reach out and see what I could do if I can get the report and then I'll share it with everyone.
Okay, I'm trying to think of
Yeah.
what this was. Yeah, it's one of the recent ones, Recycling Today.
I'll send out the email to the Swana group and see what I can get.
And okay,
When we get it, I'll give it to Brittany and she can email it to everyone.
yeah, no, I was just kind of curious as to how they did their research and stuff, because I know we checked out, you guys checked out, all the recycle bins in certain neighborhoods and all that good stuff, but
Which it sounds like you're referring to kind of a national, which was probably done at Maine SWANA, out of the Maine corporate office. So I will reach out to them and see what report they put together and
Okay.
get that information. Sure.
Well, I think it's something that we could revisit again someday in the future, going back to tagging the blue bins and stuff as I watch all the renters in my neighborhood put big plastic bags full of I don't know what in their
Yep.
recycle bins.
Styrofoam usually.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing educational piece, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And that's just, we need to just recognize that and not bemoan it. It's going to be that way.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Keep at it.
Keep at it. That's for
People
sure.
move in, move out, they get lazy, lots of reasons.
But we could take their blue barrel away.
Sure.
Okay. Let's move on to item three. Pat, we're looking forward to your deputy director's report.
Right, very good. I just have two real quick items I wanted to bring up and talk about. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about the Project 4900 that the city is doing. We're at the last stages. It has to be completed by October 15th. And what this is over the last couple of years, we've had a lot of employees that have come in and worked for the city, and they may come in at a higher rate than, employees that have been working here 20 years. And we've done some compression, we've done some changes in wages and everything like that, and compression issues, and it seems to impact certain groups and not others, and you hear about it. So the city decided to do this as a citywide thing, so that what they want to do, it's pretty tedious, pretty strenuous, and a lot of effort that they're redoing in a short period of time. And what they want everybody to do is basically to upgrade their resumes and applications, put it into the system and redo it, And that way they can actually go back and visit everybody's resume and assess their educational piece and their skill piece as far as experience goes. And then they're going to run what we use as a base pay calculator to determine what people's wages are, where they're coming in. So based on their educational experience is what they're going to be looking at that. So everybody, and the reason they call 4,900, basically we have 4,900 employees that work for the city. They all get to get it submitted. HR is going to have to review all these 4,900, and it's going to take a good 5 to 6 months to review it. They'll be going back to the city manager for a recommendation for next year's budget. So that's why we're doing it, so that hopefully employees that feel that they didn't get a benefit and have been here a long time, which is very fair, I think, to everybody, they well deserve it, an opportunity to evaluate that and look at their compensation. There's not a guarantee or a promise that anything will happen, but they have guaranteed that they'll actually review everybody's. So I just want to give you guys an update that that is happening. We're working, around the clock on this. A lot of staff here is getting a lot of employees. So obviously, our field staff are not, staff that hangs around a computer and able to do all this stuff. And, they submitted their application maybe 25 years ago. And
Sure.
it's a lot for, them to sit down in the computer and update all this information, especially when you have to go and try to reach out and get transcripts from way back into a school that maybe doesn't even exist anymore. So there are some challenges that come along with it, and I'm sure we're going to work through it. But that is a deadline date. And the second piece I wanted to mention to you was that we'll be going to the city manager. He's requested for us to give him a brief presentation on what we feel our cost of service study is going to present and what we anticipate what those rates are going to be looking like. We're finalizing that, getting that information. I really can't go into the rates and details until we meet with the city manager, and then we'll be able to share that. I'm sure Carlos will be able, since it's we're meeting with them next Tuesday. You guys have the full ESAC after that, and maybe he can give you guys a real quick recap as to what we propose. I could tell you right now, looking at the increases, like we've seen in years past, very moderate on the residential side. And it'll be a little bit more than we have on the commercial side is going to be. And we always want to be a little bit more aggressive on the commercial side because we always want to ensure that commercial or the landfill isn't subsidizing any kind of collections within the city. So that residential is not subsidizing it, or the landfill isn't subsidizing any of the commercial businesses. So that's why we'll probably be aggressive on that. The other things we're looking at, the landfill fees, which have not gone up in about 10, 11 years. So we'll be looking at also some kind of an impact there. That's really kind of a real brief update. I think what we're going to do is be able to present what those numbers are. I think we're going to get basically some information back and say, well, have we looked at this and looked at that? And not only that, what other programs are we going to be considering and what those costs would be to start up any new programs. So that's kind of where we're at, and just wanted to share that with you.
Interesting.
Cool.
So you're looking at overall at probably some rate increases, right?
Pretty much across the board, I think we're at that point. Even though we did the increase, I think over the, I think we went up like $6.25 since the last 3.5, maybe 4 years. But really, that was just getting caught up to what we had not done in 10 years. So even though we did see that $6 increase, really that at that point, it really brought us up to where we should have been even more like 5 or 6 years ago. And now we're still at that window that we need to look at because, as you all know, and we all know, you go out to buy anything now, it costs more than it did 3, 4, 5 years ago.
I remember the big political fight was over the landfills, was over the landfill fees about the big commercial haulers really leaning on some of the council members. How are you going to sort of prepare for that?
We're just gonna, as far as preparation, we're just gonna let them know, here are the fees, here are the rates, here are the revenues. They make policy. Our job is just to present it, give them what the facts are, understanding that those are a lot of revenues that cover a lot of our operational costs. Yeah, they might be a little bit lower, but they're still revenues that help us offset other costs. And that's all we can do. We'll present it. And I consider it almost like a menu. Here's the menu. Here's all the services we provide. Here's what it costs to provide these services. And this is what we need to do that. If you don't want to give us those increases or we can't, then what do you want me to take off the menu that we're proposing here?
What's the name of the project, Pat?
Well, the project is, there's two different things. The project is 4,900, and
Yes.
that's for looking at employees' compensation. What I'm referring to is our cost of service study that we have to go to
Okay.
council for looking to re either do an increase or stay status quo.
For the rates, yeah.
And with everybody wanting you guys to do more, like pick up green waste and having food waste picked up at each person's house and stuff. I mean, you're going to throw that stuff in too, right? As kind of a
But
an
that's not a
option,
cost
right?
of service. That's not a
Oh,
cost of
that's
service
not
study.
in the cost of service. Oh, okay.
Cost of service study, and that's a great question because there's a lot of confusion there. Cost of
Okay.
service study is basically the services you're providing now. This is what it costs, and this is what you should be charging residents.
Okay, so we
And that's
can't.
where we got to be clear because now that's where they get into that menu. You want us to add a green waste container? X. You want us to add food waste? X. There's always a cost associated with that, and we have to do a better job of clarifying that you know what, yeah, that we have a rate, and these are all the things it covers now, but if we want to add all these other things, it's going to be an addition to.
Okay, so you're going to give them some prices for the green waste collection or the food collection at the door?
No, but I have a feeling they're going to ask us to come back with that information
Yeah.
because all I could give them at this point is this is our cost right now.
Yeah.
If we want to add this, then I can give you an estimate. I could come back and look at it and say, yeah, if you want to run a green waste program and you want to do it for X amount of customers and how many are there, then we can come up with a ballpark figure to do that. But
Okay.
I don't have that exact price right now, what that cost is. And part of these, you always talk about pilot programs to try to get what these estimates are. But I'll know more on, we meet with them Tuesday. All we're going to be providing is the information that we have for the cost of service study. There's a service we provide, and this is what it costs. And then with a 5-year forecast.
So this is not going to be an open meeting that we
No.
want. Okay. All right.
This is with
No.
the city manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the city manager. Okay.
How does Los Reales, the landfill fees compare regionally at this point?
Good question. We are low. I
Okay.
could tell you, Los Reales, Frank, and Justin, and all those guys out there have done a great job operationally. I think that we've seen it go up a little bit now, only because increasing on cost of equipment.
Yeah.
A dozer, a Caterpillar, anything that we used to get for heavy yellow iron, as we call it. We buy a compactor now, and that thing used to cost, 1.2, 1.3 million. Now that thing is 1.8 million just for one piece of equipment. So we've seen a drastic increase in the pricing as that's gone up, and material. We just made a new sal, which is going up really fast. I was going to recommend that maybe one of these meetings that we have, let if hopefully you all are inclined to doing this, I think we should meet at Los Reales in person
All
so that we
right.
can give you all a
Yeah.
tour.
That'd be cool. Some of us have been several times. Always love to go again.
It's always, yeah, it's always eye-opening.
So
I don't
because
know what you guys do, but I smell money. I don't know what you guys do.
money, money, money.
I
I'm
was
sorry, I
thinking.
cut somebody off. What was
No,
it?
that's okay. I was just gonna follow up my question. So we're not worried about losing business by increasing our landfill fees because we'll still be at the lower end regionally.
There's always that risk. We know that. And sometimes when you do that, there's, 10% chance that we're going to lose some customers. I don't think we're going to lose much because there's not very many that can actually do it cheaper than we're doing it now.
Sure.
So is the risk there? Yeah, I think it's a very small risk though myself.
Okay.
I mean, the risk before that, at least they threatened with when we did it last time, was opening their own landfill. And of course, that is a major long-term effort for the permits and the land and the engineering and all those things which we've seen over time here. So, it's a bit of a threat without an awful lot of oomph behind it because it's really major effort. And the other is driving up to Phoenix. And I mean, and they're limited too in the land capacity they have. Are they still using the Indian reservation for the landfill in Phoenix, or they've opened another one, Pat?
If that's the one in Butterfield, they're still using.
Yeah, okay.
Fred, do you have a question?
I saw how much competition can there be for landfills? Mean,
Not a whole lot for landfill, but what happens is they build transfer stations that will transport it out to another location, in Phoenix, Eloy. Waste Management already has two transfers here. It's not unusual if Republic wanted to build another transfer station and ship the material out, that can be done. That's going to be a lot cheaper than actually probably starting a landfill, unless they're looking long term. But when you think of cell, you're talking, you need a lot of acreage and where are you going to place it? So even if they did, you're talking sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 years before that would even get implemented.
Okay.
That's all I had.
I say that even the transfer stations need to be permitted and so forth.
Yeah.
So those don't happen overnight. I mean, you can't just say I'm going to open one next month. That's probably a year-long process at least.
Absolutely.
And what happened at the transfer station? They bring the stuff in and compact it and then move it forward.
They do.
Yeah. So that's the point of it is the compaction. So it doesn't. It still weighs as much, it just doesn't take as much volume.
And I need to take that back. They don't always compact it, but they crush it a little bit with the loader, and then they push it into these large tractor trailers. And
Okay.
those large tractor trailers, they're made out of aluminum really light. So they're transporting at least 25 tons of that material. So it is still worth their while to do that.
So that's like
And actually, yeah, I
three
was gonna
trash
say.
trucks into one, and then they
Oh,
transport.
okay. That makes sense.
But you
I'll
still
say
have
that's in Doug's wheelhouse. He could answer that one.
yeah, and that's when in the big corporations, it's kind of funny money. If they're spending money at a transfer station, they look at that as money they don't have to spend to a third party to give it to somebody else. So it makes a lot of sense for them. The catch is when fuel goes up to 350, $4 a gallon, right now, fuel's not a problem.
Or the tires or everything else. I mean, the
Yeah,
truck's
the cost of
expense goes up,
transportation.
and that's what becomes the killer. And of course, in terms of air quality, it's not a good
No,
exchange.
that's the carbon footprint and all those trucks transferring is it's a big one. But they also, the landfills will absorb some of that transfer cost from like Waste Management or Republic to help get that trash to their landfills.
Okay. So they'll discount their price fee, their dump fee or something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right. So it can be competitive.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks. Anything else, Pat?
No, I'll go to sleep
Got
now.
it?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's go. Where are we? Item four, landfill and compliance. And we're going to start out with the bifusion construction. So I see you, Frank.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the first one, bifusion construction, just wanted to update of where we're our status on the construction project. And I think Brittany, you can let me share.
Yes, let me make you a co-host. There you are.
Okay. And just as a quick update, The construction is going well. It's still estimated to be completed in the fall. This is what the building looks like now. You can see that it's got some nice walls in there, some openings where the windows will be placed. I took this picture this morning. And then there's another one. Here we go.
Looks like windows are next, or it has a roof, right? No, no roof.
No, not yet. That
no, yet. Okay. Yeah. Looks good.
Frank, would you say it's like what percentage of it is done so far?
I'm sure I'm.
Are they halfway done?
It would be a wild guess. I think there may be about 50%, roughly.
Okay.
How many square feet is that going to be?
That's a really good question. I think it's like a 10,000 square.
Okay.
Square foot building.
Okay, I was curious.
I have to look. The details.
Because I don't remember what their equipment looks like, what Bifusion's going to put in there.
So it's basically going to be well, they'll need to wash the material first, but then it's also the presses. I've never seen them. They're probably.
Okay.
It will probably show the presentations initially.
Okay, it'd be nice to see pictures of that.
I can ask. I can reach out to Bifusion and ask for some pictures on that kind of time.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't ever remember seeing the inside production of the bricks. So have we seen that, Margo?
I was just trying to remember. I have some vague feeling, but nothing specific.
That's fine. I'll get some pictures.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
so that I can share.
That's the opening for the trucks to come in. It looks like they're putting on the roof. Okay, so the roof is going on.
So this is on the west side of the building, and that's like specifically what Mark was saying. These are going to be the roll-up doors where the trucks will be coming in and out for loading and unloading.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an issue with getting the electric to it, or did I dream that or make it up? Or
not necessarily an issue. It's just they've been working through that with TEP. They finally have all the approvals. They just they did the trenching already. So they're getting all that in. What's not in yet is the water, the water lines. So just any day. There aren't any delays.
Oh, there you go. That's the answer.
Right.
Okay.
How much water does it need?
I don't know those details on the operation.
If they're washing it, hopefully they're recycling the water and putting it through some sort of gross filters and then using it again to wash.
I think it might be even a good idea to invite Heidi to one of the meetings and maybe have to do a presentation of exactly what the operation entails and their operational parameters.
Yeah, good idea.
So the next topic would be Greenway's diversion.
Okay.
I'll show us some additional pictures. So as you all know, we started diverting our own greenways from the landfill at the beginning of the year. Not this year, last year. And so we've basically been moving along. It started slow. We didn't have a whole lot of use for the green waste. But now that the green, now that the food waste and the manure is kicking up more, and the food waste program is diverting a lot more, we're having more use for the green waste. We share my screen. That's it. So any of the self-haulers, which could be landscapers or just general public that brings in green waste from their either projects at home or from landscaping. If it's clean green waste, and you can see this picture, let's see what I'm swimming a little more.
Okay. Cool.
But this is bottom of our cell 4A 4B here. You can see in the background.
Okay.
It's really squared away. You got it laid out nice, Frank.
And so we divert, as the customers come in and they have clean green waste, we divert them directly to this dropout area. Then we also have what we started to do recently, aside from just diverting the clean green waste, as the self-haulers drop the materials, if they come in and they say, no, I don't have clean green waste, then we're able, with the new excavator that we purchased this year, we're able to go through the line and pick up material that we can still use in that room. So that increase, we were roughly diverting about 10% of what was being brought in. Now we increase that to about 40%. Just by being able to pick through some of the material that would normally just be pushed into the working phase. But now internally with our own staff and our own equipment, we're able to fill some of that material out. It is important for us that it be clean green waste, which is why you'll see these signs that we have up. So we constantly have to make people aware. That they do have to make sure that they bring in clean greens.
Oh, I see.
The sign is very soft.
No palm fronds, no cactus. Okay.
In the clean green.
And then on the dirty greens, they can put it in. What's wrong with the palm fronds? What, just because they're so fibrous?
Because they're so fibrous, they don't compost well.
Okay.
In our process.
Yeah. They'll wrap up a grinder. They're hard to grind.
We can still grind it, and we still use some of that. That's why we still have two separate piles. But we wouldn't use that material in the composting. We would mostly use what we call the dirty greens for slope to help us control the erosion.
Oh, okay.
And of course, the clean greens are then what we use for composting. And I'll show you a picture of what it looks like after it's ground, and what we can actually use in our composting process.
Oh, cool.
So here's a nice pile of material that was ground back in July, in June. Okay. And this is what we were using in our composting. So we take this material down, and when it's part of our feedstock, where we mix it in with the zoodoo and food waste.
My son got me two trash cans full of compost. So I've been putting it around all my potted plants and everywhere, everything that survived the summer. It's really nice. Okay.
That's all. Any questions?
That's all. Okay. Any questions for Frank?
Frank, looks like you said we were diverting about, was it 40% of what's coming in?
We're now diverting about 40% of what comes in.
Okay. 40% of the green waste or 40% of everything?
Oh, no, 40% of the green waste.
Okay, just making sure. I was like, that should be like national news if we're doing that.
That's the green waste material
okay.
that we're able to pick up.
Got it.
So that we can divert it.
I mean, that's still huge. So congrats.
No, when we're only able to do 10% of it, without our own equipment and our own efforts. When you bring it up to 40%, that's significant.
Does Parks and Recreation cooperate with this? Do they bring you their lawn trimmings and so forth?
So they do bring it in. They haven't brought us, we've tried with some loads. And they still tend to, they just need to get the word out more with their own staff to make sure that they don't mix any trash or any material that we don't want, that we consider not clean or dirt.
I thought that the city was contracting the lawn clippings, the people who do the lawns.
Or Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
I don't know. They may, but I know they still have some landscaping staff to do their own.
Yeah, because they don't do it at our park. They hire, I forget which landscaping company it is, but it seems like they contract that out.
Nonetheless, it would seem like it would be important to the city to have them setting a good example. Sorry. To having them set the example to do it right. I'm a little surprised that the word hasn't come from above that they need to get with the program. So maybe that's something at some point we want to emphasize, to send a letter to Parks and Rec, the director, Laura Hamway, and suggest that she talk to her staff or direct them.
Hey. All right. Thank you, Frank. All right. So now we're going to move on to item 5, and we're going to get collections from Jose.
Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing? So quick update on some of the equipment that we've been waiting. I know that, you know, we've talked it over, you know, a couple of times or over the year about some of the vehicles that we're receiving. Brittany, if you can give me permission to share. Unless you fell asleep.
She's not sleeping.
Probably.
She's multitasking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about the electric vehicle, the electric truck.
Yes, me too. What's happening with the electric truck?
It's all good.
And I know that. Hold on, just so I'm good to go.
Okay. I think it's this one.
Are you guys able to see that?
Okay.
Yeah, so I have a couple of dates on some of them. Right now we have 19 side loaders that we're still waiting from the orders that, you know, that were from 23, 24, and 25. So we got a breakdown. I think it was last week. We got a breakdown of when those trucks should be arriving. We did get some a couple of those trucks during the year, but this is what they sent us, you know, starting from October 17th. And basically, you guys are able to see that, correct?
Yeah.
So they're giving us a breakdown of when we should be seeing those vehicles here in Tucson. So it looks like they're moving along. We did find some couple of issues, you know, some of the vehicles that we did receive, some of the side loaders, we were kind of finding some issues, some valves, which the valves are... they control the arm, you know, they control everything that's working the hydraulic system. But it looks like all that's taken care of. That was taking a little bit of time. But we finally got dates, and if you can see, there's 19 side loaders that are, you know, that are being trickling in. Hopefully by, you know, according to this, is by February the 6th of next year, we'll have all 19 of them. And when we're receiving these vehicles, you know, we're also getting rid of all the older vehicles that we have here. So that's been working. When it comes down to the front loads, we just received one of the five front loads. Was delivered this week. As a matter of fact, it's a nice truck. You know, we have it out there, and you know, now we're just waiting for the other four. The last that I got update was from police services was that they're going to be, hopefully all five of those are delivered by the end of October. That's what we're looking at now, right now. And those are five. Roll off, I just got an update today, middle or to the end of October. They did send me a couple of pictures where, you know, they have the roll off, the body part of it. They have it installed. They just got to send it out to go get that, to go get it painted. And then it's going to be transferred over to, going to be transferred over so that way they can do a quick check on up in Phoenix. And then hopefully, like I said, by the end of October, we'll be seeing those roll offs down here. When it comes to the EV truck, still waiting on that tablet, you know, working on, you know, the electrical part of it. I think Pat and Carlos were going to give you guys a update to, you know, exactly what was, you know, what, when we're connecting with the, where we bought it from, you know, we don't want to, I know that they were sending out letters and about the lemon, you know, we don't want to have any lemons over here. So we did use it for a bit, you know, when it came back. We used it like for a week or so, and then everything inside the dash just went out. So we're like, no, we can't, you know, we can't drive that unit around, especially, you know, if on the tablet itself, it has, you know, the air pressure of the vehicle, has a fuel, has everything. Everything is in one system. So hopefully they can figure that out pretty quick. Because, I mean, even the drivers, he's asking every day, you know, the driver that drives it, you know, he likes it. He likes it. You know, it runs. I don't know if he likes it because, you know, it's at 2 o'clock, he has to come in. So that basically his day is over at 2 o'clock. I don't know which one it is, whether it's a truck or him coming in early.
Maybe you need a bigger extension cord.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, with this truck, it does pretty well, you know, usually, you know, by the end of the day, it's 2 o'clock, 2:30. That's when he knows already it's time to, you know, bring that truck back in because of the low power on it. The good thing is that we have a charging station here, you know, if we really needed that truck, you know, he can come in, charge it for, you know, maybe a couple of hours, not even an hour. I'm not sure how much of a charge it will take, like in a half hour or 45 minutes. Cause like I said, we really haven't been able to play with it or actually see how long does it take, you know, to charge it for an hour just because it hasn't been, you know, available.
So are you getting any money back from
I think that's probably going to be
this investment.
I think that's probably going to be a pat question there, because I know they've been going back and forth trying to see what, you know, what's going to happen with that. Pat, do you have any information on that, or was that going to be on the next ESAC meeting?
Yeah, I can hear that. You guys are breaking up really bad. I'm joking. Yeah, no. Nah, no money going to be coming out of that thing. I think basically all it's going to be coming out is sending them a letter, kind of a nasty gram, and giving them the opportunity to fix it. And that's like in any agreement or contract that a city has with any vendor. You always got to give them the opportunity to send a letter and here's so many days and fix it, you know, and give them the opportunity. If at that point, then it doesn't happen. But I really don't believe we're going to see any kind of money coming back on that thing. There's not a penalty written up into the agreements.
Is this just an anomaly in regards to this model, or has it happened with other models before?
There's not a lot of these models to even say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it's new in our industry. I mean, electric garbage trucks, you know, there's not a lot of them out there. So everyone's testing some of them, some of them better luck than others. We got the identical same truck that Phoenix has, and they haven't had a problem. You know, they've been running.
Maybe they have ours.
The only difference, I know that'd have been nice, right? But they unfortunately put a different body on that. So they put a curb tender body and we got a scorpion body on it.
Scorpion.
So, yeah. But I don't think it has anything to do with the body, to be honest with you. It's all the chassis.
It's not good advertising, though.
So probably not news you guys want to hear, but that's the reality part. Not probably going to see any money on it.
Okay.
I'd rather see it working.
Yeah. Pat, how come we don't have any penalties written into contracts?
Good question, and I'd probably have to get procurement on that. That's not something that we normally put in there. You can. It's not on the boilerplate. I think it would have to be a department that would probably request that. But we don't normally see it in there very often unless, like I said, a department specifies that they actually want that in the agreement.
Yeah.
And what that, how do you determine what that liquidation charges are going to be too?
Yeah. And I get why city might not want to put those in, but given the cost of the equipment and the impact to operations when things go wrong, might be worth considering.
Absolutely. It's always one of those hindsights. I think it's one of those expensive lessons to learn. And I think that's what's happened.
Yeah, totally.
So do I understand it's actually with the electric part of it, the electronics of it, or I'm a little confused.
Yeah, it's all on the electric side of the body.
So it has to do with the electronic networking of getting it to operate? Is that?
Yeah, and like anything electric, it's from the battery. So they have like little, I don't know what you call it, brains, I guess, if you want to call it, that yeah. make these things function.
Right, and, small computers. You know,
yeah, and if it's not working, nothing works.
Yeah,
and that's the challenge.
Okay,
and, well, it's and kind a lot of it is we're learning from this thing. Just yeah. like one is, I mean, great questions you guys have are a lot of questions that we have too. Yeah. Like, what is causing that?
Well, it's just interesting to me because that's what my son does is for Joby, the electric airplane that he's been working on. He's in charge of all that networking between all the computers. And they have, because it's an airplane, they have three systems. So if one of them breaks down, there's still two systems working. So they all have to work together. So I know that there's a lot of effort put into that networking for the electronics.
Yeah.
It's a real, it can be a weak point, yes.
Okay.
The second one, when we're dropping down to the recruitments. So last month, we had a recruitment for the environmental services worker and also with the solid waste equipment operators. Just going to throw out some numbers so that way you guys more or less know what's going on. With the environmental services workers, we had 35 total applications that applied, and then 22 applications were incomplete. So basically, they go in there, they fill out the paperwork, but it's incomplete. So 22 of them are automatically taken out of the recruitment. One did not score high enough to move to the interview process. 11 moved forward to the interview process. One did not schedule their interviews. So we have 10 candidates that were placed on the eligibility list. I found out today that they're going to be sending now offers to some of these employees. So we got to wait to see if they're going to set the offer or not. And then, you know, see what that actual number is going to be at the end. When it comes down to the solid waste equipment operators, 75 total applications. 47 applications were incomplete. A lot of they're not reading the instructions when they're filling out the application or what we're asking for. One of the things was the MVR, driving record, or proof of CDL. They're not submitting any of that paperwork, so that automatically throws out their application. So we did have out of those 47, out of the 74, 47 were incomplete. 27 moved forward to the interview process. Two did not schedule the interviews, and we have 25 candidates placed on the eligibility list. Right now, HR is working on the base pay calculator, where they would fall when it comes to the pay. Once they do that, and then Carlos has to approve it, once the negotiation happens with the pay. So we're still waiting on that. Hopefully, right now what we're looking at Is that possibly, you know, depending on the employee or the recruit, we have to wait for them to see if they're going to set the job. Plus, then they have to, once they do that, they have to go do the physical tests and to see if they pass that part. And also the background checks. That's another thing that, you know, with the background checks, there's a lot of times where people apply and because they don't pass the background, you know, the numbers are going to change. So hopefully, you know, all 25 right now, we do have 20 positions that are open. So hopefully, you know, we'll get all those 25. And so we'll jump just to the brush and bulky program. We've been going out, and I know that Christina's probably going to talk about this a little bit, but we've been going out to the neighborhood associations and, you know, letting them, you know, giving them a heads up of what's going on out there. One of the things that we mentioned is the brush and bulky going from alley to curb. For the most part, we haven't heard anything negative. You know, once you explain as to why we're doing it, we haven't heard anything negative about it. It catches people's attention. Hopefully, you know, if in the near future, if we can get the ward office and other communities or other neighborhoods to see if we can do the on-demand. Right now, the on-demand that we have for Area 19, we're seeing about 50 work orders per week, which is going to be the east side. We're seeing about 50 work orders that are coming in that are scheduling for their brush and bulky. Area 25, which is over on the south side, we're seeing anywhere from 30 to 45. But, you know, it's cut down a lot of the illegal dump that's happening out there. We haven't seen it that much. Is it still happening? Yes, but it's not as like it used to be. I shouldn't be showing you guys the pictures that I was showing you guys a couple of months ago when, you know, we had all that illegal dump out on the streets out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I have for today.
Well, where are they dumping the stuff then? If they're not dumping it, they take it to landfill?
These are the reales. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we haven't seen that much. Like I said, you know, like Area 25. Area 25 was a bad one. You know, you got that main street, which is Nogales Highway. They will see the brush and bulky piles out there, and that was like their ticket. Okay, you know, it looks like brush and bulky is going to be here. You got Summit, that's right down the street. I think the majority of the stuff that was coming from Summit. You know, and then also south of Los Reales, a lot of that stuff, you know. And the reason we know, and I think I've told you guys before, we go through the trash, we go through, you know, people don't take out the receipts or they don't take out the mailing, you know, so we know where it's coming from.
Okay. Any other questions for Jose?
I was just going to follow up on the employees. So are you pretty hopeful that you'll get all 20 positions filled? I mean, that would be fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, we're hoping because, I mean, we are shorthanded. You know, these guys are pretty burnt out. You know, you got a basically almost a whole task force. That task force might have 13 to 15 guys coming in sometimes all at once, you know, on overtime. And, you know, hopefully if we can get all 25 candidates, if everything runs smooth, you know, where they pass the background checks and then they pass the physical part of it, that's what takes time. And hopefully, you know, like I said, those guys have to give the 2 weeks notice at the end of the once everything, you know, they find out that they're going to be working with the city, you know, they got to give 2 weeks notice. So I don't think we'll get them all at the same time. They're probably going to be, you know, in you know, maybe fives or 10 people per classroom, because we do have to go through the whole training. So we're hoping, we're crossing our fingers, because this is a pretty good recruitment that, you know, that happened. So we're going to see what the outcome of it is.
And in the background checks, do I remember that we're now have made, you don't get excluded for certain kinds of issues like marijuana and other arrests and so forth? I mean, isn't that what the background check is primarily to see what your arrest record is?
Yeah, well, one of the things, you know, and I'll throw this out there. We had a gentleman, it was a couple of years ago. He was working for the DOCs, and he started DOC. So he was doing that like for, I think it was almost a year. After that year, he applied for the city. He applied for the city, and they let him, you know, they passed him through. And, you know, because he is a good worker, he came out, he did what he had to do. then he had to take some time out, so he had to leave the city. So he reapplied again, and hopefully, you know, he'll stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think they're really looking at what exactly was, why was he, you know, being blocked from the background check. You know, yeah. I guess how big was, you know, whatever that he did.
Right, because I recall that there was an effort in the city to, what do they call it, remove the place where you check off if you have,
yes,
an arrest record, so that that's not up, yeah, front. And so so I just wondered if you thought that that would drop some of that 20, 25 people or...
Yeah, hopefully it does. And I know on the last recruitment that we had, there was a couple, I don't know the exact number, there was a couple that, you know, that didn't qualify, that didn't meet. So, but I couldn't tell you what that number was. Like, sure. I said, it all depends, you know,
on
what
the nature,
did that employee do? Yeah.
Yeah, what the nature of it was. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Good news.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, we're on to item 6, waste diversion and the MRF report. That was really colorful when I printed it out. I'm like, whoa. Is Christina?
Let me pull it up.
Okay.
I need to have the ability to share, Brittany.
There you go.
All right. So it looks like commodity prices dropped last month, even aluminum, which, you know, was different. The tin did go up a little bit, quite a bit, actually. And the other metals, but everything else was lower.
Do we, Christina, do we know why paper went down so much?
Yeah.
No, I was reading in the, you know, one of the, industry magazines.
Do you get the,
we talked about the, all of the papers, and it just said that, you know, dropped quite a bit.
Christina, do you get the yellow sheet?
I don't.
Yep. Oh. So that looks like, what is that, $9.18
yeah,
a ton?
It's amazing.
That's like a mixed paper price. Are they making mixed paper or are they making number 8 ONP? Well, I guess I think it's a number 58.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is the yellow sheet?
The OBM, the official board market price for all your commodities. You guys don't get that?
We don't, because it's not, I think if we had the MRF, owned the MRF process and did all that shipping, we probably should get involved and probably see all that. But I don't. I can tell you that I don't get that sheet, and would probably be a good idea that we do.
Oh, yeah. Is that, I'm seeing if I can.
What's it called again?
The OBM, or the old term is called a yellow sheet.
Yellow sheet.
Yeah, the yellow sheet. It's a technical term.
That would be me. I would be requesting the yellow sheet.
Well, here, I'm bringing mine up, and it looks like, or what is this, September 5th?
Well, this was for August.
Okay. Did it drop that much? But mixed paper in the Southwest was 10 to 15 bucks a ton. But the sorted residential, it's a News 56 is what it's called, and that's $30 to $45 a ton. Did they change your contract at the MRF? Are they okay to make mixed paper? Or are they supposed to be making a newspaper, an OMP?
Well, it should be the mixed paper because I don't think there's that much ONP. But we
I
do have a
don't.
meeting with them next week, right, Pat?
Yes.
To talk about all of these issues.
We talked about the exact same questions you guys are bringing up.
Right. So we're definitely going to be talking about all of these things.
And where's my back to?
The plastics is bouncing around too. Was up 562 in July. Now it's down to 456. I mean, this is the stuff that's going to Las Vegas. And even the PET bottles dropped to 200. I mean, we haven't seen a number like that in a long time.
Yeah, PET typically follows the price of gasoline, and gas hasn't dropped that much.
Well, in the
But your HDPE natural, that seems low. I mean, usually that's $800, $900 a ton. But I'd have to research that. I'm just looking at this the first time now here.
let me see. So I have,
And the glass is still a boatload of money to ship, huh?
yeah,
yes.
that really stood out.
Did they, I'm sorry, I'm playing catch up. Did you get another audit done?
Not yet.
So this is the one from
It's 19.6.
February?
six.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we do have a meeting with them next week to discuss pricing and all of these things. And our next audit is scheduled for November 12th.
Number 12.
So we've still been on the initial like March numbers. So we're still at that 19.6% contamination rate.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks. Let's move on to Christina again for public outreach update.
I think I closed the window. I had the So we do have some stuff coming up. We've got the zero waste event in November that we're getting ready for. We had to change a couple of our vendors just because one went out of business and one has kind of we haven't we've made room for them the last two events, and they haven't showed up, which has caused issues because it's a lot of material that we collect with the medical equipment for the DAV. And they were always, saying,
Who went out of business?
think we lost her.
Did you guys?
There, okay.
You're still cutting in and out, sorry, or Christina, we haven't heard you for a while. Nope. Well, for the public outreach, I can speak to some of it. So last night was our last day for Master Recyclers. We had 15 graduates that participated in this fall program. They completed the day with the Food Cycle at Home training program. And then the majority of the attendees will be joining us for the landfill tour coming up on October 16th. Additionally, the department is participating in the upcoming Trunk or Treat that will be held on Friday, October 10th. We will have a decorated garbage truck and container out there. And that's at Quincy Douglas, sorry. And then on Saturday, October 18th, we will be at the Boo Bash at Lincoln Park. Like I briefly mentioned, we are doing the landfill tour this year on Thursday, October 16th. Right now, I believe we have 22 people have signed up. And I think, Christina, if you want to test your mic to see if it works.
I'm on my phone now because
oh, okay.
my computer just went off.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can't see anything on my computer right now. It's just going wacko. So we're doing, you know, kind of the fall, all the fall stuff, the trunk or treats, the zero waste collection event. And then we're also in the process of putting together all of our stuff for the end of the year. So all our schedules and calendars that will go out. We're going to do things a little bit differently in that when we send out the brush and bulky calendar and schedule in early November, we're going to be including the HHW schedule and the collections recycling calendar as well, because a lot of people don't always see things that come in their bill because they get their bills electronically. And they don't bother to look on the attachments. Even though they do get them, they don't look at them. So then they say, you know, that they don't ever see them. So we're going to send everything in that separate mailing so that they'll receive it separately. It's not something that they would receive electronically at all. So we'll see if, you know, more people say that they see it this year.
You get huge turnouts for the trunk or treat and the Boo Bash, don't you?
Right, but we're just there, you know, just to kind of represent where it's not like people are there to get information or anything. So we're just there giving out candy and letting kids explore the truck.
A full garbage truck full of candy, huh?
Well, not a garbage truck full of candy, but we try to get as much as we can. It's just, there's a lot of kids that show up, so.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun. So
why did you schedule the landfill not on Halloween?
Because I was gonna be out of town and we had people that were gonna be out, so.
Okay.
We needed to look at some other days. It's just this year, a lot of people had time out scheduled. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It always was such a standard. I mean, it was sort of set your clock by it. So.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately.
And Valentine's Day for in the spring.
Yeah, and Valentine's this year will be, next year will be on a Saturday, so we'll probably do it on that Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think Jose mentioned we've been doing meetings with all of the different neighborhood associations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been very well received. Most of the neighborhoods have been really positive and
good.
Enjoyed getting updates from us. So that's been very positive.
So far, the staff has gone out to 20 neighborhood associations.
Wow.
In the past month.
That's a lot of nighttime work.
Yes.
Thank you.
What was I going to ask? Oh, just went away.
Okay. Anything else? Nope. We'll move on, huh? Thank you, Christina.
All right.
Brittany. Okay. Item 8 for future agenda items. Looks like we'll have some follow-up from our meeting today.
I was going to say, if y'all are meeting with the MRF next week, it would be good. If not next week's meeting, then in the next subcommittee meeting, just to get an update on how things are going there.
Okay.
Is there not also an RFP out to see what's going to happen next? Some discussion about, build our own MRF, go with the new MRF, go with a different MRF. What's happening to that?
I'm sorry, Margaret, could I say it again?
Wasn't there an RFP out that's looking into what's the next step for the MRFs as our contract with this one ends?
Yeah, actually, you're finalizing the MRF, and hopefully we'll be out in the next year or two, next week, next year, the next week or two. It's actually being reviewed by the attorneys, okay. And we're waiting to hear back from them. If it's good to go, then procurement will get it out there.
So that RFP is on its way.
It has not hit the streets yet, but it's being printed as we speak.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And what about the gas to energy? What's happening to that?
You know what? I'll let Carlos probably give a recap on that. I won't go into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be not one of our items to discuss here today, right. But we probably need to put on an agenda that they can actually go in a little more detail.
For full ESAC? Part of this?
That's up to you guys, but we probably wouldn't be able to get into a discussion today because I don't think it's.
No, this is.
No, no.
We're looking at future agenda items.
Oh.
And that's perfect. What I was just putting some things out there for future agendas.
At the next full ESAC, I do have NewGen attending to present the cost of service. So that will probably be the main item and plus the waste diversion reports. So I could put gas to energy for full ESAC for November.
Okay.
And I can request a presentation by Bifusion for November for full ESAC.
Sounds good.
Yeah. We're getting to the end of the year, so it'd be nice to get a good update. Anything else? Nope. Okay. Well, how are we doing? We're doing pretty good here. We'll jump to item 10, adjournment at 4:11. So anyhow, enjoy your cool evenings.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Very nice.
It's fun to be cool again.
Our in and out month.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.